Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening. It's 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, and this is the Sunday show, Progressive Roundtable, the discussions of the week in review with our co-hosts, Wayne Johnson and author Ronald Feynman. Good afternoon, evening, gentlemen. How are you doing? And happy VD, Valentine's Day.
I'm doing very well, and pleasure to be back. Of course, you and Professor Ron, happy Valentine's Day to both of you. And
happy Valentine's Day to both of you, and I'm getting my second vaccine shot on Wednesday in Delray Beach, so I'm glad about that.
Very good.
Well, that's wonderful. Wish I could get in on it here. It's like a lottery here. I mean, you have to sit at the computer at 6 o'clock in the morning and wait for the screen to keep refreshing, to get an appointment to go to Publix and get your vaccine. So far, still here in St. Lucie County. And it's just ridiculous. And this Republican buffoonery, this Republican run state of, you know, absolute corruption is just like DeSantis holding out on the unemployment funds for folks when the first COVID, the first round of COVID relief came. He screwed around with that for months. I mean, it's just incredible. It's just incredible. And it's really kind of heart-stabbing to sit here with a cup of coffee and watch and wait. Every minute the screen refreshes and you look for your place to get in and get an appointment. I mean, I feel like I've been in a medical vacuum for a few years. It's just, okay. This is like being, old proverb, up the creek without a paddle?
that proverbial creek.
Without the paddle, yes. But onto more bigger news. We had an impeachment trial in the Senate. I actually thought the Democrats really informed the country and presented a really, really good case.
They actually got more guilty votes.
It was a brilliant presentation by the nine managers, particularly Jamie Raskin, their leader, but all of them were just so impressive.
Yeah, but they still acquitted the son of a bitch, you know.
Well, yeah. Because only seven Republicans, but, you know, as I pointed out on my blog today, 57-43, again, you need 67, but if you had a bill pass 57% of the vote, or you had somebody win an election 57%, that's called a landslide.
I agree. Yeah. And it was a landslide, the evidence, but,
But the requirement is 2/3. If it hadn't been, then Andrew Johnson would have been removed and Bill Clinton might have been removed. Richard Nixon would have been anyway if he had stayed. But so it's a mixed bag about, is it good that it's a 2/3 vote? No. But is it a bad thing? Not necessarily. You don't want to remove people too easily. But this case is open and shut. I mean, there was no question about it. The man committed felonies, and I think he will be pursued by the District of Columbia, Attorney General. I really think so, because of the bloodshed in the nation's capital.
Right. Well, not just there, but the state of New York is going after him on several different.
And also Georgia with that phone call. Our phone call. How stupid could he be to do that?
And I think Lindsey Graham is also now falling victim to that Georgia investigation.
In Georgia,
contributed to that too.
Yes. So I think that maybe how's this sound? I think both Graham and Trump might be thinking about the song "Georgia on My Mind,"
and not in a positive way. I think they all believe their hands off. They can get away with anything. I really do. I think they actually believe they can get. And then the hubris and of Mitch McConnell after the vote was taken, and he comes out with that spiel, how vile the president was after it's said and done.
I wasn't buying it. I think it was just...
I think they all need to be hawk-whipped. I mean, you know, tar and feathers. As my mother would say, run out of town on a rail. But,
yeah.
You know...
I like that.
Well, and here
imagine
we have...
Imagine the scene of that.
Well, and here we have, again... I think that the year is going to just be one exposure after another of what the Republicans have done. I think that Biden and his team are doing their best, but they need to get it together, and they need to do some kind of a national mandate on how these vaccines are being given out. Because here in Florida, half of us are shit out of luck, depending on where we are. I mean, it's really... So then again, maybe it's Providence. I mean, there's a quicker spreading, vaster mutated virus of it now going around. Maybe they have to come up with a new vaccine. So I don't know.
Right.
All I know is Florida has horrendous leadership. The two senators were embarrassing, and like Scott said, it was a waste of time. What kind of a comment is that to make? And every day Rubio makes himself look more like a moron. Really, he does. And then we have DeSantis. So, you know, I made a joke about imagine the three of them, DeSantis, Scott, and Rubio being on the Titanic, and he can only save one. I would say, now don't save any of them.
I was going to say, what kind of sandwich would you make? That's the question.
No, you guys missed that one completely. That's a case of where the captain, you know, does not go down with the ship.
Yeah, right. Well, and the thing is, I guess I'd like to interject here is, this is what we had to deal with. But now what's going on now is, bet your bottom dollar, the Republicans that are in control in those states are putting a new roadblock
to voting,
laws to circumvent the votes of those, the rights of those who want to vote and stuff. I say give Stacey Abrams all the assets, the money, the help, whatever she needs.
It's not
and
only
turn her loose across every damn state of this union, and because that's where the fight's going to be.
Yeah, well, she did a
wonderful
job, but you do realize there's a large program already underway and has been hard at it by President Obama and his group. They've been working on this since he left office.
Right.
So there are people working on it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is that's where we need to concentrate our efforts on is in those aspects. President Obama, Stacey Abrams, anyone who's willing to step up and get active for registering people, making sure they got the right to vote, to make sure that restrictive laws aren't passed. If they try to put them up, expose them. This is where you got to take the fight to them. I've said this many times, and I know Professor has heard me say this, as I say, don't try to cooperate, because there's no cooperating with these people. You're not going to cooperate with Mitch McConnell. He's just going to play you like this prison bitch. Take the fight to them. Lock them on their heels. That's where the fight's got to be.
Yeah, and I do think the new attorney general, when he finally gets his confirmation hearing, they're holding off a whole month already before Merrick Garland gets his hearing. He's going to really have the most difficult job of any cabinet member, I think, trying to figure out how to deal with all the issues around Trump and also just generally about what all the illegalities that have been going on for the last 4 years that need to be prosecuted.
Well, yeah, there's that. And then there's the post office. They need to get that postmaster out of there. Really?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, he's been trying to put in new programs, which is going to slow it down that much more. He is trying to bastardize it and destroy it from within.
Well, because the Republican Party wants to privatize the post office. That's their goal. You know.
Okay, and I'm not in agreement with that.
Well, I don't think it'll happen, but Biden has to get on top of that as quick as he can. He's going to have to start really delegating some ramrod duties to his vice president. and let her take over where she needs to in places like the post office, like a few other places, because, hey, I called the White House hotline. I've still got it on my speed dial. And somebody answered. A young man answered in the White House, and I said, is this the comment line? He said, well, you know, we're using the website right now, but do you have something, you know, a message or whatever? And I was just in shock. I was just in absolute shock. But I said, you know, I'd like to pass it along to President Biden that he needs to focus, too, on the post office, because small business is taking a very large hit right now because of this, and it is putting a huge dent that is not being observed in the economy. And he said, okay, he said, fine. He said, your name. And I gave him my name. I said, you know, I'm a voting Democrat. And he said, well, that's okay, but that doesn't matter. You know, he'll get the message anyways. So it was really a surprise. It was like the old days when I used to call and the operators got to know me, you know, during the Obama administration. So I was like, really, I was happy that somebody was answering the phone and that there was a
what time of day was the daytime, I guess, right?
No.
What time of day did you call?
I think about 6:30, 7 o'clock.
At night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I would have put 9 to 5 hours would be what it is. Oh, wow. That is impressive.
Yeah.
I wonder if you called at midnight if somebody would answer.
That's an
interesting thing to check it out, whether at all hours. If you wake up, go at 3 a.m.
Well, I think you'd probably get an answering machine or something. But he did tell me that if I wanted to leave, you know, detailed information or anything, that they do have a place on the website, the White House website specifically. And that it does get paid attention to. Usually, the White House comment line, too, at a certain hour of the day, goes over to a call box where you leave a recorded message. Or it used to at one time. I don't know what it does anymore at all.
Oh, it's just nice to hear, though, that you were able to get through and talk to a human being.
That's good. Nice young man. And I was just sort of dumbfounded. I was in shock. I figured it'd be recording, you know, leave your message. But somebody was there.
Your call is important to us. You know, please leave a message and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Yeah, something like that. So
yeah, something like that.
Was there anything that surprised anybody about the impeachment presentation by the Democrats?
Professor, I'm going to let you take a first swipe at that, just from your background and historical aspects.
Well, I thought, you know, all nine of them, is someone that I did not know much about before, but they were all very impressive. I think particularly standing out, other than Jamie Raskin, was Stacey Plaskett from the Virgin Islands. And, you know, I never really thought much about it. There's a non-voting member of the House from the territories, and she was really good, but all of them were. I mean, and it was a really diverse group, the nine of them, and I just thought they really stood out, and they made the case, and anybody who had any brains in their head would see that this man should have been removed. Well, not removed him, he's out of office, but should have been convicted and be prevented from running again. But I'm thinking ahead, is he really going to run again? Is he really going to be a serious candidate? Because all these other people backed him, all of them want to run for president themselves. So I think it's going to be a bloodbath in the Republican Party if he decides to run and they all are competing against him. Or are they all going to stay out and not run? The Tom Cottons and the Josh Hawleys and the Ted Cruzes and the Rand Pauls and the Marco Rubios and the Rick Scotts and the Nikki Haleys. Oh, my God. What a group, you know?
Yeah. Well, there was a senator from California who got up and spoke. I can't think of his name.
The dealer, the one who replaced Harris, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes, Alex.
Anyway,
his
point that he brought up I thought was very good. He says, I'm not really worried about Trump running again. I'm worried about when he loses. because he's going to pull this same shit again because there's no repercussions for what was obviously a treasonous aspect of trying to violently overthrow the U.S. government and its elections. He will do it again because we didn't teach him a lesson. He did not, was not found guilty. So he now is that much more empowered from January the 6th.
That's one thing that stood out is Susan Collins had not voted to convict last time and said she thinks he learned his lesson. This time she realized he had not, and she did vote to convict.
Yeah, but again, that way she could save face because, you know, that they had already talked. I mean, hell, the senators were going talking to the defense attorneys, planning their strategy. One even said, well, now it's our side to come up. They're supposed to be the jurors. Jurors are not allowed to go out and talk to the defense attorneys on how
they did.
Okay, what are you going to present now? Come on. That is
Graham, Cruz, and Lee, I think it was, yeah. Oh, they're such lowlifes, I tell you. There's so many members of the Senate, at least 10 to 20, that are really obscene, really obscene.
Yeah. So anyway,
there's no dignity. They're disgraceful.
It was incredible to see that complete waste of human. Josh Hawley sitting up
upstairs and put his feet up on a table upstairs, didn't stay with the others. What arrogance, you know?
Yeah, and
it should have been called out by that by Patrick Leahy and told to come downstairs. You know that he shouldn't be doing that. That's disgraceful, you know.
He's a seditious bastard, and he's always going to be a seditious bastard. So is Ted Cruz. And so is Marco Friggin' Rubio, too, by the way. He is such a weak, whelp of a milquetoast. It's not even funny. He is complete milk. I mean, he's terrible. He's absolutely terrible.
No, Florida, I think, and Texas have the – and also Kentucky with Rand Paul and McConnell are probably the states with the two worst combinations of senators you can imagine, those three states.
Yeah, it'd be hard pressed to find some that were worse, but I think they are the zenith of the arc.
Yes.
Well, cream of the crop.
When it comes back around to, first of all, I think that McConnell keeps his seat in Kentucky because he's got it rigged. I have no doubt.
The
state is rigged.
If
that young Marine woman had. She probably had 20,000-30,000 more votes than he did, but it wouldn't have mattered.
It wouldn't have mattered. You got it.
Because he had the state rigged, no matter what.
And Kentucky's such a poor state, too, extremely poor state. You know, and they get more money than they put into taxes. And, you know, and yet, you know, he and Rand Paul can – And I can't even decide who's worse. I think Rand Paul is even worse in a way. I can't stand the man. You know, he's an utter disaster, I think.
Yeah, I was rooting for his neighbor. I'd like him to come back and give him another good ass whipping, but this time do it right.
Yeah.
Well, the point is that now these Republicans are somewhat stuck. They're starting many of the actions they can't take now. And hopefully the Democrats will get on the horses and ride. But they've yet to do it before. Look what they did when Obama was elected. I'd really like to see a difference. I mean, they did a good job with this. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how far they will go?
Which gets back to my original station. Organize. Take the fight to them. Don't sit back. Don't try to placate or try to make nice or let's try to work together. There's no working together with these bastards. You grab it together, you mobilize, and you take the fight to them in mass.
Well, I am glad, by the way, that Biden is pushing ahead on the $1.9 trillion, and he's not going to let the Republicans slow him up. He's made it clear he's moving ahead. Even reconciliation, he's not going to worry about whether the other side goes along. So that's good, you know.
Yeah. I've always said, for those that asked me and stuff and for political advice and stuff, we ran for state office, local in Maryland and Delaware, I said, the candidate has to stay on a positive statement. this is my plan, this is what I'm planning on doing, this is how this is going to help you. That's what your candidates have to do. Everyone else can be the attack dog, the pit bull. Have those that do that. But the candidate that's going to be voted on for the office has to keep his position and his comments in a positive aspect. And that's what Biden is doing. I'm not going to get involved with this impeachment. They're going to have to take care of it. I'm concentrating
on doing...
Yeah,
well, he wasn't doing the bread and circus. That was true. You know,
right.
that was true. But now the stock market is going through its mechanizations, and you can see where they are manipulating media to get people to try and put into the stock market at this point. With what? With what? I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
But they are definitely
touting
the stock market, and it's ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the economy.
I was going to say, the P.E. ratios of stocks, the price per their earnings, is totally skewed out of control. But it is being so manipulated, just like those who with Robin Hood and Reddit, right, that was saying, oh, look at these guys. They sold all this stock here. They bought it short. They're going to do this, gone short on it. Let's screw them over. Let's everybody buy it and drive it up. And next thing you know, this guy who was fined $5 million for manipulating the stock market, was pissing and moaning because he lost $1.3 billion, with a B, dollars, because a bunch of gamers got pissed off, thought it was funny, or they did it for spite, and drove that stock up. He lost $1.3 billion in that deal. That's how this shit can be so manipulated.
Well, and they really did. I thought they did a great job of showing... You know, showing them just how manipulative the whole thing can be.
Oh, I mean, love
they
it.
Haven't
I
seen
mean,
that since the 1940s, the 1920s. You know, but
absolutely, it's when during the Newt Gingrich, the contract with America, he had Bill Clinton in the my short and curlies will say it, and they looked and repealed the Glass-Steagall Act, which is what FDR put into place.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Make sure this kind of shit and the banking, you know, and all this. And, of course, the banking lobby paid enough to get the Republicans to remove all checks and balances in banking, starting with Reagan, you know, because the problem with government, businesses get government out of business. And, you know, they removed the checks and balances for the savings and loans. Within 6 years, they were having to bail out the savings and loan because of the abuses, because the checks
were
not
in place. The late 80s, yes.
Yes, during the Reagan administration. And then when the Republicans took over with W. Bush and, the first 2 years there, again, whatever banking regulations were left after Newt Gingrich and his boys removed the Glass-Steagall Act, they removed the rest of the banking checks and balances, and then by 2007, we had the worst crash in banking because they were manipulating it, and they knew they were writing loans on homes, bundling it, throwing them into mass stocks and stuff, and it was a paper tiger, and it collapsed and destroyed the economy, not only in this country, but that was globally.
You're right. I wanted to point out, you mentioned about George W. Bush administration. That makes me think of Dick Cheney, and then I think of Liz Cheney, his daughter, suddenly seen as a bit of a hero for coming out against and voting, to impeach Trump, and now being pilloried in the state of Wyoming as all these other people who voted to impeach all those who are now voted.
I think she made the right. I mean, I think she
absolutely
made the right
she did.
Political.
I don't like having to give her credit.
I think she made the right political strategic move because I think that it's going to come back around and she's going to actually look like the big hero for those Republicans who still vote. You got to remember that this has been overblown, hyped with, very few of the voters. That actually, as all of this has come out and everything that else that's being exposed and will be exposed this year about what the Republicans and those who supported Trump and his bullshit went through. I mean, she's going to come out on top of this one. Mark my words.
Well, the one thing is she has to face in 2022, you know, it's a whole state that she represents. It's not like a district. And
right
now the Republican State Committee has condemned her, and that's the same for Adam Kinzinger in Illinois, and his, which in his case is a district.
Yeah, and these are people who have bought into the Trump hype, which is big on what? What's the big hook here? What has been part of the great big portion of all of this? This has been this QAnon thing. And that thing is going to get dissected and rolled out in the next few months in so many ways. And she's, mark my words, she's going to come out, and so are all the Republicans who said, oh, no, like those Georgian Republicans and most of the Republican Party who have not jumped on this bad wagon. They are going to be the only thing left.
That's true in Georgia and Arizona. The Republicans fought Trump and said, no, Joe Biden won. So it's true. There was a real split. And the question is, what's going to happen by 2022, 2024? Which wing of the party, the regular conservatives, the mainstream, or these nuts are going to be in charge?
Right. And believe you me, the evangelical community is a bigger part of who jumped on this QAnon crap. You know, they're cultish. They're cultish. This is about a cultish. I posted a little video where on TikTok some gal put up, well, where are your fans for Biden? And this one gal answered her, you could do a duet thing there. She said, we are not Biden's fans. We are voters who voted him in to do a job. That we appreciate. What you are is sick in the head for being a cultist. You are.
Right.
You need help, honey. You know, it's about living in drama and not the real world. You know.
Yeah, I can. Talking about that, I saw this woman posted on Facebook, bawling tears. She might have been 40-ish, maybe knocking on the door 50. Oh, please, Jesus, come down and save the country. They, come save the country. Just bawling because Trump was so, unelected. Biden was in there. But she had bought into so much that she was voting for Trump because that's what Jesus wanted her to do. And then when he didn't win, that just was destroying her face. She's like, I pray to you, Jesus. I pray to you, right? Come down and save the country, and all this kind of shit. So,
Jesus, by the end of it, even Pat Robertson said that don't vote for Trump.
Yes,
so,
he did. Pat.
I mean,
that was shocking.
It got way out of hand. I mean, you start pulling the money out of an evangelical's pocket. My mother used to have a saying: "The Christians are here. Hide the checkbook." And that's just fundamental stuff. And basically, these evangelicals are seeing all of their extra capital go into the slush fund for Trump. By the way, the son of a bitch is sitting on over $70 million he made during this shit.
I think it's higher than that. I think it's in the hundreds of millions by the time it's all said.
And now he's raising more money. Now that he started raising more funds after he was found not guilty. Yeah.
Right.
This cuts into these evangelical territory. That's directly out of their pocket. They have a new cult to follow, cult of personality. That's what these evangelicals are. They're little miniature cults of personality that go around, using hellfire and brimstone and judgment and fear to collect the nickels and dimes of those people who are living on cat food or are, as mommy says, the 3-2 hillbilly crowd plus it's unfortunate because you're talking about a lot of people who are not very well educated. They have been brought up with hate and the other, the fear of the other, for so many generations. And that's what we're trying to eradicate. And the only thing that eradicates that is education. And
like what I keep going back to.
And travel.
Right.
But education.
The warning that I gave Jack Kent back in 2005 about welcoming in this Tea Party, the extreme elements, the religious right, the Jerry Falwell crowd stuff, that the Republican Party was going to come to regret it. Republican Party in a sane and sensible
They're actually getting the bulk at Trump. And now Lady G there.
Yeah, Lady G.
In South Carolina. And Ted Cruz. And to some amount, Marco Rubio. He's holding on to an elder community of Cubans in this state. I just cannot believe that, you know, so many of the Latino community, which is varied. I mean, you know, Cubans and Puerto Ricans are known to be, you know, sort of gang versus gang a lot of times, but they're all Republican, very conservative-minded folk. And for them, especially Puerto Ricans, to give Trump and these Republicans any kind of power or vote, I'm stumped. I am totally stumped.
I was going to say, I have a coworker, and he and I got hard with the engineering firm that I'm with now. He is the first generation California Mexican, he and his wife. Very, very brilliant lad. Matter of fact, he's his master's was master's thesis was on electrical engineering, but dealing with the improving and way to make more efficient solar panels. And it's so well done that it's going to be part, they decided to, it looks like it's going to be part of the IEEE. That's the International Electrical Engineering Association, right? And he was down in Georgia. And things got so bad with the Trump charge because, you know, he was one of those damn filthy, murdering, rapist Mexicans, he and his family, that basically he feared for his family. And then that's how he got, he left there and got a job up here in Maryland. And like I said, brilliant lad, could have been a very good credit to the state of Georgia with his knowledge and talent.
There's a big difference between South American and Mexican or Middle American.
And
your island nations like Puerto Rico and Cuba and stuff, that Latino crowd. There's a big difference.
Don't call a Puerto Rican a Mexican or vice versa. I've been globally and worldly.
No, I just mean there's a huge difference between their political persuasions. You know,
Well, I'll give you one. Let's take the all the Cubans down in Florida, Miami area. They vote conservative Republicans because they've been told year after year after year, decade after decade, that we're going to go back into Cuba and throw Castro out.
But Castro's dead, and the other Castro is 90-something and not running the government anymore.
But that's all you needed to tell that whole block down there in Miami and those districts down there, and you had their vote.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, but you do realize that a majority of Dade County Cuban-American younger, you know, in your 20s and 30s, they voted for Obama. I'm trying to get that in there.
Yeah. Well, that's a different generation. I'm talking about, right, those that would have been in my age group.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that Cubans are only about 4% of people that are Latino in this country. It's only in Florida and a little bit in New Jersey and Illinois that they have large numbers, more in Florida.
True.
I mean, Mexicans are 65% of all Latinos and Puerto Ricans are about 18%. They're the two largest groups.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to spend a little time talking about the Capitol Hill police officers. I don't think get enough credit. For what did on that day, January 6th, the loss of Brian Sicknick, you know, and nothing really said about that by many of these Republicans. They don't seem to care about what happened to him. The only thing is they did all, everybody agreed unanimously to give a gold medal to Eugene Goodman, who saved Mitt Romney, for instance, we know that, and probably had an effect on saving Mike Pence and others as well.
And Mike Pence, too, exactly right. And the thing is, there was, I had a tally. One officer lost an eye. One lost three fingers.
Yes.
One, of course, was killed right on the spot when he was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher.
By insignia.
Another one, two others were so traumatically that they committed suicide.
Yes.
There was many, many head, brain, and spine trauma. One was had his spinal, one of the discs in his spine basically so damaged that he's in constant pain because it's pinching the nerve. I could go on and on.
Yeah, but 140 officers,
the
one who lost his eye, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah,
blue lives matter. But the thing is when these Republican terrorists, the Trumpists, those who I warned Jack Kemp about, saying blue lives matter, none of the Black Lives Matters killed a cop.
Yeah, it's also interesting that, Trump said to Kevin McCarthy, who was, of course, despicable and should be prosecuted for having supported the challenge even after what happened on that day. But, you know, apparently Trump, on the phone call with McCarthy, where they were profanity-laden phone call, he said it's Antifa, and Kevin McCarthy said, no, it's not. It's your people, which
right.
I thought was interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
He's P.T. Barnum selling... You know, a scam. You know, there's a stupid, an idiot born every minute kind of a mentality. He is a carnival shuckster showman. That's Trump. And he motivated all these people to commit these treasonous, violent acts against our democracy because he was unelected as president for doing a piss poor job. That's the bottom line.
Yes. Another thing I wanted to bring up is why didn't Mike Pence decide to make a statement or go before the Senate? Because after all, he was threatened, and frankly, Trump did not seem to give a damn about him on that day. So it amazes me that he has not said anything publicly. And that
maybe
this might have changed things if he had done
maybe
so.
Maybe he simply couldn't get up the airfare for it. Apparently, he's couch surfing through Indiana right now. He is persona non grata.
Yeah, well, he's been on.
I
think he's under death threats now on because of these QAnon and Trump supporters who would say, because of you, you know, Joe Biden won, as if it was really in his hands. You know? But I do think he should have been a profile in courage and have spoken up and made sure that Trump could not run again. You know, but he didn't do it.
Yeah.
No, they haven't got it. You really expected that out of Mike Pence? Really? Oh, my gosh. None of these guys have any character.
Nobody expected him to do that. You know, it was already written. It was in stone. Nobody thought he would do the right thing. It wasn't even an inkling of thought that Pence would do the right thing.
No. They're giving him credit for showing up at the inauguration. Big effing deal. Come on.
Yeah, he was there for the brunch.
No, it was really pretty ridiculous. Anybody that has been part of this fiasco for the last 4 years, and those who made hay with it, took advantage the best they could, and kept up what they could with majority rule and stuff like the senators who were involved. You know, historically, this is who they will be, historically. But right now, you know, it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair that they are not paying a price more than just... What do you think is going to happen to Governor Cuomo? I mean... He sent 9,000 people back, COVID-infected elders, back from the hospitals into the nursing homes where they perished.
Oh, boy. Not good.
Yeah.
But also Governor Newsom could be recalled in California. There may be a recall election, which, of course, is what happened back in 2003 to Governor Gray Davis. So that's all Schwartz.
Right.
Yeah.
I had to laugh because the man who put up the millions of dollars, who was going to be the Republican candidate to run against him and get him thrown out and get himself elected, when the feet hit the street, They told him, no, you're not going to be the Republican candidate for governor. We're going to take Arnold Schwarzenegger here. That guy shot out millions of dollars, and
yeah.
Arnold
Schwarzenegger
benefited. It was Darrell Issa, who's congressman now. Yeah, he's the one from way back, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
they really screwed him, too.
Oh, Schwarzenegger actually wasn't such a bad pick, either.
No, he wasn't.
He enabled
the
economy of California to really grow in a very conservative, real conservative, and yet very prosperous way. And he made way for a lot of good programs to be bedrocked. He did.
Well,
his
don't forget, he was related to the Kennedy family.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much that really goes, but he's definitely a true conservative. But look, I don't know if you guys saw the day after the insurrection, he put out a video that was incredibly inspiring.
Yes.
And, you know, he reminds me of what, you know, Republicans I grew up around were like, you know?
Yes, Republicans used to be, many of them, quite decent. I remember a number of senators and governors. I don't know if I would have voted for them, but I thought they were decent and they had real principles, and I did admire them, yes.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you know, let's go back and look at Nixon. It was the Republicans. I think there was only three. Well, when the head of the minority came to Nixon and said, yeah, it looks like there's only like, I don't know, three or four.
Yeah, Barry Goldwater, senator from Arizona, of course, who ran in 64. Hugh Scott, the actual minority leader in the Senate of Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And John Rhodes of Arizona, the House Republican minority leader. Right. Yes.
They told him that basically there was only going to be three or four Republicans who were not going to vote for him to be removed. And I am not one of them, Mr. President. In other words, he just told him, too, that, and I'm going to vote to throw your ass out, too. That's when
they could show Barry Goldwater, who had a bad image from when he ran in 64. 10 years later, he looked like a real principled man when he got involved in pushing Nixon out, yes.
Yeah,
yeah. So, you know,
actually, the number
is
10. They actually said you'll get no more than 10 votes in the Senate, Mr. President, and you need 34.
You know, the one thing we have not talked about that is really the most important thing right now, and that is the ongoing COVID crisis.
He predicted or said he wants to have 1 million doses a day. It's more than that. So far they're ahead of themselves on doses, which is a good sign that we might have more doses sooner rather than later, which is a good thing. And we also bought more supplies from the different companies, our president.
Yeah.
So I think he's doing a good job on it, considering it's only 25 days he's in office.
Right. Well, that's where the full court press. That's when I said the president and any leader has to be a positive message. And that's what he's doing. He's delivering on this positive message of let's get this vaccine, this pandemic under control. Let's get people vaccinated. That is our first and primary concern.
Absolutely.
Right.
And he's going to have a CNN a town hall with Anderson Cooper on Tuesday night at 9, I see. So I'm going to be soon to watch that.
Well, you know what? I'd like to mention, too, something that I find incredibly wonderful is that ginger press secretary of his, Jen
Psaki.
She's fabulous.
She's good.
She's fabulous. She is such a breath of fresh air, you know, because she learns. You hear what's going on, and you can actually feel some confidence in what she's telling you.
Yes, and she holds it every day during the week. Not on the weekend, I think, but during the week, every day she has a press conference. I wanted to mention the early polls show that Joe Biden has, depending on the poll, 56%, 61%, or 63%, again, different polls. And the point is Donald Trump never reached 50% anytime.
No.
So
right.
Here he's doing very well based on how people react to him, you know, Joe Biden at this point.
Yeah, I don't mean to demean Biden, but, you know, anybody would do better.
The bar wasn't that high, is that what I'm hearing, Gwen?
Yeah, the bar wasn't too high there.
But you know what's interesting with the polls showing that he has a good image and all that? Already the right wing is looking for a scandal under Joe Biden, what they call a scandal. They're making a big deal out of this White House press aide, T.J. Duclos, who apparently threatened a reporter, and he's been forced out now. And they're calling it the first scandal. And I'm thinking, that's not a scandal. It's an embarrassment, but it's not a scandal. But they're trying to somehow equate him to Trump scandals. There's no comparison.
It's
amazing. It's amazing to me that, that they would call something like that. But they're going to, you know, one thing that's also nice to remember, too, is that right now Fox and some of the new Fox newscasters are being sued in the billions.
Yes, thank goodness. And Fox News has not done well as far as people watching at night. It turns out that MSNBC and Rachel Maddow is way ahead of, you know, of the people on Fox News, you know, particularly Tucker Carlson. Oh, my God. Those people are horrendous.
She has been for a couple of years in the slot there. But it just overall, people aren't listening to Fox anymore because they don't know what to believe.
Well, that's just it. They heard 4 years of basically Trump lies, and then when it was exposed that it was all Trump lies, that they had been propagated, that it's like, well, obviously what you were telling me for 4 years is bullshit, and I don't believe a damn thing you're saying now, you know?
Yeah.
You know, why should I believe anything that you're telling me as being any kind of validity?
Yeah. The only thing is, there are now channels that are getting more viewership. There's OANN and also Newsmax, which are considered more right wing than Fox. So there's still the right wing hate groups around, you know.
They're not going to go away. And that's what I say.
You can realize.
Get back to my original statement. You got to take the fight to them. Don't try to play nice. Don't try to work together. Don't try to be inclusive. They're nobody you want to be inclusive. You take the fight to them.
Yeah, look at what Marjorie Taylor Greene, who got taken off her committees, but she's still there. She has a big mouth and she speaks up. So she indeed started a movement to impeach Joe Biden on January 21st, the first full day in the White House. What craziness.
And also they're going after Kamala Harris, too, for some made-up thing. I mean, she needs to be impeached or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not getting too much play anywhere, you know, not even on Twitter, because Twitter is really enforcing its rules about what's true and what isn't.
Look at the defense attorneys for the president, how they had this whole thing put together about fight, 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 all the things that mostly women and minorities and Jews said, you know, and just keep on repeating the word fight, comparing it to what Trump, you know, was saying on January 6th. Such manipulation of reality, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, the context was totally not the same. The fight was, get out the vote, Stacey Abrams. Work with her. Get out the vote. We got to fight for these seats. We got to fight to remove these restrictive voting laws that the Republicans have put in. That's the fight. In Trump's case, he says, go down and kill the people in the Capitol. They're your problem.
Yeah, and then not protecting his own vice president, not asking him for 5 days, not talking to him for 5 days after this?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, not caring about Nancy Pelosi, who they wanted to put a bullet in her head. Oh, my God.
Well, it was really shocking to watch the 13-minute video that the Democrats put together to open the impeachment trial up with. All of America saw that. It shifted things. You could feel the energy shifting in the country as that 13-minute video got played on network television that evening, and over again. It kept coming up. CNN kept playing it. MSNBC kept playing it. But basically you had national ABC, CBS, and NBC, which everybody gets. They were playing it in real time and showed everything. I mean, it went national. And people saw exactly what was going down. And that 13-minute video was just, I mean, I cried. It gave me a punch in the gut. I couldn't, because these are the Hanyaks, man. These are the dregs of society. This is white supremacy is all that was.
Oh, absolutely. It is white supremacy. Exactly right.
And yet some of these professional people, they were lawyers, or one was a rabbi, I think, just all lowlifes as far as their job. But what happened to these people? They're just out of their mind.
I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Ron, but I've walked into yacht clubs and met lowlifes. The dregs.
I guess if you can buy a
Lamborghini, doesn't make you a good guy. I mean, look at Steven Seagal, for Christ's sake. What a rotten piece of crap he is.
It's true.
I mean, Leona Helmsley, if you please.
She was a classic.
You can't go by people's job to say that makes them better. It doesn't necessarily, No, I've known even some people I've known who are professors. I can't believe professor who I knew who said, I don't like the New York Times or Washington Post. I don't believe them. And I'm thinking, are you a moron? I'm not saying they're perfect. The New York Times or Washington Post are worth reading, you know?
I mean, you know, the Times was always the standard. And when I was in college, my first goal was journalism. And the Times was the standard. But I got to tell you, more and more over the years, I spend more time relying on the Washington Post. But it's apples and oranges. It's apples and oranges. The thing is that, you know, I mean, the first rule of my house was, you know, and this was a Republican household, mind you, you never judge a book by its cover. You do not judge the content of character by the content of a bank account. That is just you're just a goddamn fool if you do.
Yeah, you're right.
And those people are easy to spot. You see them coming, you see them going. And I'll tell you what, this year, integrity like that, it's going to fall. If your big thing is to make a buck and have money, that's going to become a very deep class A. I mean, we've had enough of it, I think. And I think that's one of the big rolling pins that's coming down the aisle right now. It's not the money, honey. It's what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you stand up for? Are you taking care of your neighbor? Are you loving your family? Are you being fair and equal with other people? How much do you know? What have you learned in life? These are the questions that are going to come across the board again because the cycles are turning again. Okay, Archie Bunker's off the air now.
I've always said the person that cradles the Bible and wraps the flag around his shoulders, I said, you know, that the fundamentalist, over-exuberant Christian will be the first one to lie to you. He'll be the first one to steal from you.
And I've always said, people that, you know, that may have wealth and status, the way they treat, quote, ordinary people, meaning the waiters and the maids and others, that's what really matters. If you treat people with lack of respect, you're a piece of crap, you know?
The very well stated, Professor, that is absolutely very well stated.
Well, you know, I think about the people who pay the price, people who stand up in the crowd at the converted, corrupt union hall that stands up and says, hey, people, this ain't right. This ain't how unions work. And they get dog sit down because of it and ostracized. And the people who will stand outside of the crowd and say, wait a minute. You know, it's like Henry Fonda in that movie. Is this how you people are going to act? You don't throw that rope around that limb? That's not who we are. That is not who we are. And so I think we're coming into, because we have to. Let me tell you what, we're in the middle of a mass extinction event. You don't think so? Take a look.
Yeah.
That's what's going on out there. And it makes people are going to sit down and begin to think, what is really important here? What is really of value to me? The love of my family or my neighbors or my friends? Or, you know, have I got a new Mako boat in the front yard?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's always going to be that part of society that it's more important for them to have more toys, for them to be right when they think they're being heard. You know, there's always, because we always have had hierarchy and polarization. We all took sociology 101, didn't we? You know, two people, fine and dandy, you're doing okay. You get another person in there, you got society. And so, shit, man, here we go. But there's always the majority. And I will always be that Pollyanna asshole who thinks there are way more good people in the crowd than bad.
And I do hope you are right. I mean, I do hope you're right.
I'm not always right in my own life. Let me tell you, I've taken shots here recently.
I get that, but I dare surely hope that there's more good people in this world than there are the bad, because that's what this whole thing, this is what this whole thing is counting on. We need good people.
We do, and we need to stand together. We need to stand up for each other and hold on
absolutely.
To one another. And I don't just mean Americans or Democrats or what have you.
Right.
I mean humanity, global. There are countries where they haven't even begun to vaccinate yet right now.
Yeah, well,
so,
you know, take a look at them. You know,
and they are our brothers and sisters. They are our brothers and sisters.
Some of the worst strains now coming into this country is Brazil, where, you know, it's all fake news to them,
Africa,
right? The global warming is all fake, you know, keep cutting down the rainforest. South Africa, there is nothing down there. You know, there's still the those who have and those who have not. And those who have not are passing around.
There ain't going to be nobody left to cut down nothing pretty soon. You think I'm lying? You think I'm lying?
No.
Hey, this is my job, baby. First oldest one on the planet, and I ain't talking about no pot of gold either. I'm talking about the process, the soothsayer, and the
gypsy. I got to tell you real quick.
We're
getting kind of close on time, but I do not want to talk about Brazil and things like that. When I was down there with the Navy in Rio de Janeiro, Copacabana Beach, and some other cities along the coast.
Roll it up. 3 minutes.
There was, you know, they being very Catholic, there was laws against abortion. There was no abortion. Medical, I don't care what it is. I don't care if your baby's dead in it. You're going to carry it until you give it birth kind of mentality. You know, it's going to be born dead. They knew it was going to be born dead, that kind of stuff. And so there was a lot of street urchins, you know. I just drew a blank on the great Carol's novel. Anyway, so, and they started forming Oliver Twist. Just like in Oliver Twist, they started forming their own kind of little communal family aspects where, you know, they were pickpockets. They would be a little bit of rolling, you know, roll someone over for their wallet kind of stuff. And
we only
they
got
would
a
take
minute.
Whatever they could. I mean, pallet boards, you know, cardboard to make it, and they try to make their own kind of a shelter out of whatever scraps they could. And they were more up in the mountains there around Rio de Janeiro.
And they created their own societies. Is that it?
Yes, right, right. Communal societies. That's exactly
We've
it.
Got
right.
no time left, Wayne.
Yeah, I see 2 minutes left. Yes.
Well, we don't even
have
that
say,
on my
real
board.
Quick, I'll go real quick. Basically, to solve the problem, they had the federal rallies with their, you know, automatic weapons like the M16s and stuff, anchored around it, and early in the morning, we're done.
We're done.
Early in the morning.
I've got. Come on now.
We'll talk about.
Let's roll it.
We'll talk about it later. Go ahead, finish. Let's close the show.
I want to thank everybody. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Wayne, for joining me. I hope everybody's looking up instead of down. Things, you know, keep the positivity out there best you can. Stay safe. Stay safe. Be well. Use your mask.
Yes,
absolutely.
Thanks so much, everybody. It was a good show, I think, the three of us. Yep.
It was. And I'm wearing two masks. Do it.
Travel by rubber or by water, and that's all. And, everybody, just please stay safe. We'll see you next Monday at 6 p.m. for the Sunday show on Fear Be Monsters Radio. Don't forget, tomorrow night at 8 p.m., we have Come Now, Don't Talk with Sybil Brunson. Thank you, gentlemen.
Good night, all. Good show.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.